B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Everybody wants to see at the Sixers game Sunday night.
W.
You know what I want to see?
What's that?
Not 21 turnovers.
21 turnovers is a negative.
I'd like to not see that happen again.
And I always say that the numbers don't lie, but they can deceive. And last night was a perfect example with Joel Embiid, 26 points, 21 rebounds. Those are good numbers. But if you watch him throughout that game, especially in the latter stages of the game, he did not look like Joel Embiid.
You're down 5 points. You have the ball, and he tries to go behind the back, dribbling in the lane.
For one of 8 turnovers by him.
When does common sense come into play? At what point in time, in practice or in a game recently, have you gone behind your back in traffic, Joel Embiid, and something good happened?
Mm.
This is the mentality, the IQ that I've been talking about for a year now that baffles me. It baffles me to think that, you know what, Joe? 2.5 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago, down 5, come back. Yeah, do that behind the back thing.
If you are going to look at the numbers from last night, the 21 turnovers that Jamie just alluded to, it's the 6th time this year that the Sixers have turned the basketball over more than 20 times in a game. 6 times! Yeah. More than 20 turnovers in one game. And if I see this, now by the way, for the record, they average 16 per game, which is the 3rd most in the NBA. When you see these problems here and there, you go, come on guys, get it together. When you see it as often as we've been seeing it this season, I don't know what Brett's telling these guys. I would assume it's, hey, don't make dumb plays. But whatever he's doing, there needs to be some adjustment. We talk about adjustments in football all the time. How about an adjustment in basketball? Whatever you're teaching these guys that shouldn't be young athletes anymore, they should be veterans at this point. Whatever it is, you got to change it because it's not sinking through.
15 between Ben and Joe.
If I see Ben Simmons run through the lane one more time and jump in the air to pass, my head's just going to explode. Because that's the thing that drives me nuts. Because that's a situation where if you're in the lane, you turn and shoot. You don't try to dish it out, try to force something. That's where at least 3 of his turnovers came last night. For all the people that say, it doesn't need a jump shot. Okay, that would be a situation where it'd be kind of helpful to have a jump shot. Where he's not forcing that pass. Instead, maybe he's forcing a shot, and maybe he's getting fouled. Because I'll say this, for a guy that will say doesn't want to get to the foul line, when he goes to the rim and misses, at least he turns around to the ref and he says he got hit. That shows me he at least wants to go to the line. It also shows me, maybe he's looking for an excuse. But I'll go with the optimistic side and say that he at least wants to get to the foul line. If I see Ben Simmons jump through the lane one more time, leave his feet to pass when a shot would benefit him 1,000 times more, my head will just explode in front of you. The other part is Joel Embiid. For a guy that talks about the lofty goals of Defensive Player of the Year, NBA Championship, MVP, all that stuff, you don't have that yet, JoJo. As much as I'm rooting for you to get to that point, as much as I want to see that, as much as I would just love to see you get those accolades, you don't have any of them yet. And it seems like both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they play like they already have those notches on their resume. They already have those credits on their resume, and they don't. And when you watch them play the game, sometimes they just seem lazy with the basketball. They don't make smart plays, and it's really the same mistakes I've been seeing them make throughout their career. There hasn't been a huge step forward. I felt like Ben and Joel Embiid took steps forward in year 2, and since then, they've been pretty much the same guy. And Joel Embiid, again, great numbers last night, 26 points, 21 rebounds, but 8 turnovers. And a guy that has his hands on his knees in the 3rd and 4th quarter looks like he's already exhausted. I don't want this to be one of those things where we're looking at it down the line going, oh man, if he could just get in shape and didn't have to play himself into shape every year, we'd be looking at one of the greatest of all time. You know the talent is there. It's a matter of actually getting every ounce of that talent, having every ounce of that talent come to fruition.
And the way he plays doesn't really play to him playing himself into shape. Mm-hmm. If you follow what I'm saying. If I want a guy playing into shape, all right, Joel, when you grab a rebound, I don't want you taking 2 or 3 dribbles lazily up the floor before you hand it off to the point guard, which we see all the time. I don't want you handing it off to the point guard and walking up the floor. I'll cut your minutes back by 5 minutes. Every time you get a rebound, I want it in Ben or whoever else's hand, and I want your first 3-4 steps to be sprints. I want them to be runs down to the other end of the floor. We don't see that. So there's not points in games where I look at him, is he working up a sweat and all that? Yeah, no doubt. But as far as running back and forth, as far as those things, I still don't see it. I don't see that he plays a game that plays him into shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, why is it that it almost feels like you're going through a regression this year? Like, that's what it feels like with Joel Embiid.
God,
because no, and I understand that, but just watching him, he doesn't look like that same player. That fun that he usually would have, he doesn't look like he's having. Is it because he's exhausted? Is it because he's gasping for air? I don't know what it is, but he just doesn't look like the same player. You look at the box score, good for you. You look at the box score, that's impressive. But watching him play when you need him the most later in games, he doesn't look like that same guy. Rarely does he capture that enthusiasm. And I'm telling you right now, Trey, when you and I are down there on Sunday and they're playing the Raptors, I don't think we're going to see a zero-point performance, but we better see that edge again from Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
That alpha. We got to see somebody be the alpha.
You might see a zero-point performance. Seriously. Back end of a back-to-back.
Why you gotta do that? Why
God, they don't do it.
Why you gotta do that to me, Bob?
No, I don't think they'll sit him on Sunday night.
Do you think they'll sit him on Saturday?
Perhaps. That's what I would. If you're going to do it, if
load management says it needs to be done.
Look, I hate load management.
So do I.
But that's what he, like, is this what we, okay, look, if we have to go through this period for him, well, look, with still getting 26 points and 21 rebounds, I'm not just saying forget about that, but there are other points in this game where you need a guy who wants to be an MVP play a little bit better down the stretch when you need him to be clutch. And his foul shots, I don't think he was that good from the foul line last night.
11 for 14.
11 for, so he was good for
had
the foul
line. Had he made 12, Trey would have won money.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. But when you watch him, he just, that energy that's there hasn't been there.
Well, I'll ask both of you guys, and Jamie, you too. Like, have you seen it more this year? I've never seen him walk down the floor, literally walk down the floor more than I've seen him this year.
No.
They're continuously going to the other end, will walk, not two or three steps, from foul line to foul line, walk.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? He needs to get into the habit, and it is habit for him. You have somebody do something enough when they're playing a sport, it becomes a habit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The habit needs to be, and when Sam Hinkie was here, I've said this 1,000 times, they would chart your first three steps up and down the floor. He needs to get into the habit, like Tim Duncan did, of when a rebound is secured, Tim Duncan's head would go down, we can all close our eyes and see it. His head would go down, and he'd sprint down the other end of the floor and get to where he needed to be. Mm. Joel needs to get into that habit.
But I hate seeing Ben in front of him when they come up the court.
Like, yeah.
And I know that I'm excluding Ben getting a rebound and pushing immediately because that, I get it. But on an inbounds play, when it's just like under the basket after a made basket, for instance, when I see Ben like just kind of slightly jogging it up, not even full run, and JoJo's just there lollygagging behind him.
Yeah.
That's awful. Bill in Schwanksville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Mark, you just kind of stole my thunder. Right? You know, Bob, I call you guys in the morning sometimes. You know, my problem with the Sixers last night. Number one, I will say this. I left after, you know, I took my dog for a walk about 9 minutes left because, you know, I basically quit just like they did. And my feeling is I'm not watching.
Oh,
no.
Oh, Bill, you dropped out for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, I said I'm not watching until they are going to quit just like they did. I'm not going to watch until they lose in the first seven rounds. Just like you said, me with Simmons, number one. Forget the jump shot like you said, Mark. I'm sick of. He is a liability on offense. Number two, he does so many things unfundamental where, like you said, he drives to the basket super hard. He's got like a layup. Instead, he just turns his body completely the wrong way. Turns out that he leaves four times a game on a fast break, on a 3-on-1 fast break where you should get a layup. He's the lead guy. The ball ends up back, you know, almost at half court. It's just, he's so afraid to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing with Embiid, just like you said, he's out of shape. I got happened to turn it on last night, you know, just the TV when I got back, and I saw, you know, Simmons getting interviewed, and Embiid in the background taking a shirt off, and he looks out of shape. Like you said, he's dead. The numbers are numbers, but like you said, I'm sick of, he's playing against Wagner, for God's sakes, and that guy, you know, Chuck Lennon or whatever, 6'8", 6'9". He should be dominating. They don't have, the simple thing is, and I said this last week, they don't have a superstar. You can't win. And we're spoiled, Mark. We had Dr. J growing up. I had Barkley and Allen Iverson, who are superstars, who every night, even if they were off, you felt they put their heart and soul into the game. These two, nothing. They need to go to Oz and ask for a heart. Because it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, you know, like, Embiid should be dunking these guys like a Balo Chevrolet car every I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, Mark.
Bill, I hear you. I hear you, man. And I'm with you. Dude, I'm with you. Dude, you're the man. Good talking to you again. I don't know what to make of it because I know a lot of people will look at the facial expression. Jamie, I know you're big on that. You're big on that. I don't want to read into that too much, but it does look bad.
He looks different this year.
What really gets me...
he's not having fun.
But what really gets me is the hands on the knees.
Well, yeah, that's just clearly out of shape.
I remember this in grade school, coaches telling you, hands over your head. Like, that's how you get that air, if you want that air.
Second, a lot of coaches tell you, don't show the other team your weakness.
Okay, yeah.
So, like, his body, like, yes, he shouldn't be doing, but his body language just looks mopey this year.
Yeah, it looks bad.
It's weird.
He doesn't have that spark.
No.
I'm just looking at a couple of highlights from LeBron James, you know, in his 16th season.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, just the demeanor. Just a demeanor. You know, forget all the other stuff. His demeanor, everything about what he's trying to do out there on the court. And it's just, you don't see the same. Even Anthony Davis, you don't see the same. You see somebody that's trying to take over a game. It seems like it got late in the game and it was...
Right.
Yeah. Maybe we'll win. Maybe we won't.
All right. Coming up in a minute here on this fine... it is a football Friday. We're going to swing back to the Eagles in a little bit here. Brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law. For the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse, remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. We'll let you hear what Doug Peterson got into yesterday at his press conference. Getting a little testy. We played a little earlier for you. We'll play it for you again. Doug, a little testy on his self-evaluation when asked about it. Time of the Fanatic, 8:11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Don't forget, also, you can meet Bob and Trey tonight. Trey, you and I will be out on Sunday at the Sixers game.
Yeah.
But you and Bobby, yeah, you guys Bobby. Are going to be Timeout Sports Bar tonight.
Timeout Sports Bar.
Yep. 4024. That's 4024 West Skipback Pike and Skipback PA from 6 to 7 tonight. Yeah. Something tells me you'll be there longer.
We'll be on air from 6 to 7. We'll be there for a while, have a couple beers.
Yeah, just hang out.
With the peeps, and I think we might have some giveaways.
Men of the people. Yes. Men of the people.
Trey's got a busy weekend.
Yeah, busy weekend.
Jam-packed.
Yeah.
And then you got pregame show on Monday.
Yeah, pregame show. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Can't get enough for Trey Thomas.
It is a busy weekend, kind of.
And by the way, Jamie.
Holidays are busy.
I think I need to apologize to your mom, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
And just reading the Oasis copy made me remember this. We talked about the side boob situation yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Jamie got in trouble.
Yeah.
How'd you get in trouble?
Did you hear this?
I got a text from my mother that said, "Side boobs, Jamie? Really?" And I hit the old ha-ha and then just ignored it.
That's the move.
Yeah.
That's usually what I do.
Well, she knows I'm an idiot, so it's like, yeah, all right.
Like,
let's move on.
I'll say one thing about my childhood that might make it seem at all negative, and my dad will text me, "Hey, my friend says I'm a terrible father. What's this?" And I'm like, "No, Dad, what the hell?" Not at all, Bob. Not at all. The guy who was pissed off yesterday, without question, was Doug Peterson. And as I teased before the break, Doug got a little testy with the media when he was asked about... Now, he was, for context, he was being asked about evaluating the coaches on his staff. And he said, everybody is evaluated based on how their position group performs. Well, if that's the case, I don't know how their wide receiver coach, Carson Walsh, still has a job, but that's the route they've gone. So one of the other things is that Doug said he also evaluates himself. So Dave Zangaro of NBC Sports Philadelphia, being the great reporter that he is, decided to press the issue a little bit, Trey. And here's how that sounded yesterday at Doug's press conference.
What have your takeaways been from your evaluation of yourself, and how do you change things as the year's gone on?
Is the season over?
But you said you evaluate yourself. You look in the mirror.
I understand. We do play a game on Monday night, but anyway.
Sure, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we save those for maybe the end of the year?
I love the... okay.
Yeah. Like, Doug, I'm not here to poke you, dude. I'm just asking what's the problem.
I was following up on something you said a week or so ago. Sorry.
But, like, even in this press conference, they talked about the evaluation.
I would have liked to have seen a stare down after that.
See, this is why you have to go to a press conference, Trey.
No.
He ain't going to talk. You blocked for that man. You saved his ass.
Yeah, no.
Would you ever play the game? As a matter of fact, Groucho Mark, glasses off, fedora off, trench coat off. Yes, I did. Protected your ass. That's how you handle that. Yeah. But no, that's how he chose to handle that situation. In my dream of dreams, this is what you do. That's how he chose to answer that question from Dave Zangaro. Like, how about just talking about how you evaluate yourself? How about just answering the question? He wasn't saying, Doug, it's the end of the year. He said throughout the season. A little testy.
Yeah, and there's been many times we've all been there. You walk out of a press conference and you kind of put your eyebrows up like, whoa, something's not going well behind the closed doors.
Our man Kings Grove says here that Doug's number one response to a lot of things here is we have to look at ourselves in the mirror.
Mm.
And now he's being asked to look in the mirror, and he's like, I don't see anything.
What do you see? Yeah.
Is it the end of the year? No, it's not the end of the year. But you said you evaluate throughout. Don't you evaluate yourself? I mean, seriously, any walk of life, you're evaluating. If you're worth any salt of what you're doing, you evaluate what you're doing as you're going along as well.
Well, I believe he came out and said it. I believe he came out and said, yeah, I have to look at me. I have to look at me first.
Mm.
Zangaro's question was perfectly fine.
It was pretty legitimate.
He's mentioned self-evaluation at least twice this year.
All right, now, I want to get into this as well because this is going to be our Twitter poll today for the remaining hour and a half of the program. When Sam gets in, I want to go over this when she gets to the mic, but it has to do with the division. And I know Jimmy in Lehigh Valley wants to get into the division a little bit here. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, somebody needs to tell Doug Peterson to ask Ron Rivera if it's the end of the season.
Whoa. Spitting fire, Jimmy.
That would be a great follow-up.
Because, yeah. I mean, I'm tired of him deflecting questions. Like, your wide receiver coach is horrible. Your evaluation, your play calling is horrible. Like, you guys need to change something now. Don't wait for the end of the season. But with that being said, what I learned from last night, and I want to let you guys know, two things. Dallas still sucks.
Yes, that's correct. They do suck.
And I would take any wide receiver on the Chicago Bears over ours right now. Because those guys were making some plays.
Yeah, they were. They certainly were. And you know, this was interesting. Mitch Trubisky last night, they ran the same play, I want to say it was, at the end of the first half in the back of the end zone. And I think they called the same guy's number. I don't know if it was Allen Robinson or not, but they called the same.
It was the Wims kid. He hurt his knee on that play.
Oh, okay. The second one?
Yeah, that's right.
And yeah, they basically called the same play with the same guy's number, same drop back, same everything, and they went right back to him. He still didn't come up with the ball, unfortunately, but it was a situation where you were trying to show your wide receiver that you had some trust in him.
And I mean, obviously, they found some type of weakness in Jalen Smith that they were just attacking him because, I mean, he's a Dallas Cowboy, so he sucks.
Because the touchdown that they got was right after he was hurt, and they went right back at him again.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I mean, I'm gonna transition a little bit into Sixers and everything. I think Joel, I think Ben, I think Carson, and I'm hoping that Morgan Frost doesn't have this, but they're all young. They're all real, real young, and I just think it's almost a maturity level for all of them. Like, JoJo has that maturity where he just wants to be lazy. Ben has that maturity level where he doesn't want to do what he's supposed to do. Carson almost has that, like, nerdy maturity level where he's scared. It almost seems like he's scared now. He's got happy feet all the time.
Mm.
I think it's just a maturity thing. Honestly, I think if we stick with all these guys, and I mean, I don't think they're going anywhere. Honestly, I think they're our superstars, and I think that we have some superstars on us, on our teams. We just need to let them develop and mature.
No, I'm 100% with you. Thanks for the call. Good stuff. Appreciate you. Maturity is something that I think should have already taken place. That's what I was looking forward to this year with the Sixers.
With Embiid, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even Ben Simmons, just using the jump shot. And I'm not talking about 20 jump shots a game, 10, whatever. But in a situation where you find yourself leaving your feet in the paint with a full head of steam and you're not going up strong to either try to get fouled or just make a layup or a little, you know, 5-foot jumper in the paint, and instead you're forcing a pass to the outside that ends up as a turnover, three of your seven turnovers last night, really, then that's an issue.
I asked Bob this morning, the 5 o'clock hour, since last year's playoffs, Has Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons shown you anything that would lead you to believe they've improved since last year?
Simmons' defensive ability this year does look like it's improved. I mean, he was great last year, too, but this year it has looked like it's improved.
And he's won you, you know, a couple games down the stretch with defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, offensively?
No.
Joel Embiid?
No, regression. That's what I see.
Yeah, I see the same things.
By a guy, like, Joel Embiid doesn't look as good as he looked last year. Ben Simmons' scoring numbers are definitely down, and he's got some other guys around him that should score. But a guy like Joel Embiid does not look like the same player that we saw last year. You can tell me statistics. You can tell me points per game. You can tell me rebounds, whatever. Watching him play the game, he does not look like the same player. Something does not look right.
How much film do they watch?
That's probably most of their practice sessions. Uh-huh. So when they do have practices, they'll get out on the floor, say, for 45 minutes, probably an hour will be in the film room before him.
Kind of like what we were talking about earlier with Trubisky, like how the coach made him watch the game with no volume just to say, all right, look at yourself, just watch yourself. What players are going to follow that? Is that something that they should possibly do? Do you think that something like that would work with Embiid?
Well, real quick, Trey, to more on that point. Uh-huh. So Andrea Kramer, NFL reporter, Andrea Kramer, great lady, tweeted this out yesterday that Matt Nagy made Mitch Trubisky watch the Chargers game with audio off, the previous game, mm-hmm. with the audio off so that the quarterback could see his own body language. And he said to him, that's what everybody else sees. The way you're doing this, that's what everyone else sees. Never a smile on your face. And he understood that. That's what Nagy's saying about Trubisky. He understood that, and he kind of took that into the game. So it's like showing him himself. Makes it, it's like if we do an air check in radio or you go through an evaluation at work.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, God, this is what I sound like. You know, that kind of thing. No matter what it is, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. So watching yourself, listening to yourself is a great message to send to that player to say, hey, look, this is what everyone else sees on the court in this instance for football players on the field. But for a guy like Joel Embiid to see himself, that's what you look like. For a guy that takes a lot of confidence or a lot of pride in his appearance, whatever, yeah, that's not a good look, Trey.
Yeah,
to your point, yeah, Bob, would it hurt? Would it help to show a guy like Joel Embiid what he looks like on the court?
That would. When you brought it up earlier, I thought it was a great idea. Put on the NBC Sports Philly broadcast from last night. Turn down the volume. And watch yourself. Watch what you look like. Watch a guy wide open in a corner, Tobias Harris, with 3 minutes to go, and you're trying to go behind your back, mm-hmm. and you give it up and commit a foul and walk down the floor. Sometimes I think coaches, and Trey, you might know, coaches get so in-depth on what they're looking at on film that sometimes obvious things are missed.
Yeah.
And coaches have admitted, I remember one time Doug Collins and I were watching film together, and he's like, he called me Coach Cooney. He's like, Coach Cooney, come in here. I got to show you something. And he brought me in, and he starts on a jump ball, and I'm like, oh, my God. And he goes, I didn't even get to the part yet. And I said, yeah, but look. They threw the opening tap up. This is literally. One of his players was looking down at his shoes. Another one was tying the string on his shorts. And another one was turned back looking around behind the basket. Three of his five players weren't even paying attention that the ball went up in the air. And Doug was like, oh, my God. You know, he says, well, watch what happens after this. And then something even worse happened. But see, I agree with you, Trey. Sometimes the obvious probably gets overlooked. And I think that would be a great tool to teach him.
Absolutely. Because as coaches, you're so into the X's and O's of the game.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you hope that. Because I remember talking to someone. They were saying that you brought Al Horford in to kind of help get Joel to grow. Oh, that's the problem. You keep bringing people in. He's going to have to grow at some point and just go ahead and take that role. So possibly something like that could happen that would help just to see. Look at your demeanor. Does your demeanor say that you're trying to achieve all the goals that you put out there? Because, yeah, you can go out there. You're so talented that you can go out there and score 26 points in your sleep and walk up and down the court. But is it helping the team?
Well, look at the game last night. Again, mm-hmm. 26 points, 21 rebounds, and we're like, he had no energy.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he did it, especially in the latter stages of the game when you needed him the most. The turnovers were prevalent just in that third and fourth quarter. And I think there was three straight possessions, or at least three straight passes, where you gave up the basketball. in the, I think it was late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, there was a bad pass at the top of the key from Ben Simmons to, I think, Matisse Thybulle.
Right.
Then there was another one, Matisse Thybulle trying to loft a pass to, I think it was Tobias Harris on the way, and that got picked off. And then I think it was Tobias Harris just throwing the ball out of bounds. It was like, and it wasn't deflected. Three straight possessions.
This is probably beneath NBA players and all. So what you'll do is you'll say, okay, we're going to run horns here, and you're going to come a high pick and roll up here. And that's what you'll tell them to do, and they'll do it, and you'll do that practice after practice. I would love for Joel Embiid to watch an hour of film of Karl Malone setting a pick. Instead of just being told, go set a pick high, and then it's your option to roll or to pop, stop. Let me show you how to set a pick. If Joel Embiid learned how to set a good, solid pick, Karl Malone is the second all-time leading scorer in the NBA. And he got most of his scoring out of pick and roll. He became a really good mid-range jump shooter. Mm-hmm. I'll take Joel Embiid's mid-range jump shot, seriously,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
As good as Karl Malone's, who was the second all-time leading scorer in the NBA, because he knew how to set a pick, he knew how to hold off a guy, and he knew how to create space and make a jump shot. Mm-hmm. If Joel Embiid would learn how to set a really good, solid pick, I think his offensive game would really take off even more.
For a guy that size, for his pick, for his pick game to be atrocious is wild to me. And how much he's moving a lot when he sets the pick,
exactly.
Which is not what you should be doing anyway. Like, if a guy's trying, first off, it's the old brush of the shoulder, you know, drill. I remember doing that where you're running off the other guy's shoulder. But he leans into it a lot.
He halves his body.
He doesn't
make his body wide. He turns. So instead of having that wide base this way, it's like, you know, he turns sideways. So this wide frame now becomes a thin frame. And he does it when he posts up, and he does it when he tries to set picks. I think if he got wider in both those instances, he would be a much better offensive player.
All right, I want to get to this question here. It's our Twitter poll, and this is what we're going to throw out. Switching gears to football for a second here. The Dallas Cowboys lost last night.
Yeah.
The crazy scenario of a team that you probably forgot about winning the division is still out there.
Yeah.
I give you Sam Wilson.
In Rocky voice? Yes.
Please, Sam, try.
In Rocky voice.
Please try in Rocky voice. You can do it.
I believe in you, Sam.
We have confidence.
Stop giggling.
We have confidence in you.
Who will win the...
What was that?
I did a little hand thing. It's more Godfather.
It doesn't work on radio.
That's more Godfather.
Not at all. You know, not
that either.
Not all Italian movies are the same, Sam. Don't you put us in that box.
I only have one Italian impression.
Okay, go ahead.
You only have one Italian impression?
Yeah.
What is your Italian impression?
Lay that on us.
I did it before, I think. The Godfather. Make me an offer I can't refuse.
All right, no.
My eye twitch. Did you see the eye twitch?
First off, the Godfather was from Sicily, and he lived in Brooklyn. Or he lived in New York, but whatever. Go ahead, yes.
One more try at Rocky.
There's your reset. So okay. go ahead and channel it. Yeah, you got it.
Come on. Here we
go. Who will win? Who will win the NFC East? That's what we asked.
That was good.
I had the passion that he had.
All right, who will win the NFC East is the question. What are the options?
The Eagles, Cowboys, or Redskins?
Now, the Redskins can still win the division.
Yes.
It's possible.
So, our fans, we have just under 1,200 votes so far. 61% say Eagles, obviously. They have optimism.
61%.
Second, at 24% are the Redskins.
Yeah!
Yeah.
All right. That's the confidence I want to hear from the good people of Philadelphia. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Mike in South Philly, what's on your mind, brother?
Yo, how's it going, buddy?
Good.
Hey, I want to make a comment about Sixers' winning streak. I want to ask you guys a couple questions here. Sixers had a 17 winning streak, had a 20 with the Brett Brown. I want to know, what is the problem now? Why they cannot put together a winning streak more than five? Like, is that Embiid the problem?
They just won 9 in a row, didn't they? Or no, 9 of 10. Not. They just won 9 of 10.
No, that's at home. I'm talking about...
No, they've won 10 in a row at home, but before last night, they won 9 of their last 10 altogether.
They only put together 5 winning streaks, and then they lose one, and then they put it back again like 4 or 5, and then they lose another game. That's what I'm saying.
I'll take 9 and 1.
I don't understand your... I'm trying to... what's the question, Mike?
Okay, my question is, what is the problem? Why Sixers cannot put together a winning streak like 10, like Bucks, like in general? I mean, at home, yes, they won 10 at home. But in general, why they cannot win more than six? Like, I was betting money, like, how can Sixers win more than 10 wins streak? And they cannot put together. They always have to lose after five.
Because, they're, I mean, I'll tell you, the bottom line, and Mike, thanks for the call, is they're not consistent enough yet. And look, if you want them to go off on, what was it, 16 games they won in a row at the end of two seasons ago before they played the Heat in the playoffs?
Yep.
Like, if you want that, me too. But as of right now, this team is just not consistent enough. I don't know if Joel Embiid is in shape enough to be able to play that well, that high level of play over 10, 15, 16 games. I don't know. But as of right now, this team is just not consistent enough. And the big problem for me with this team is the turnovers. And a lot of it comes to forced passes, guys playing well under their talent level, taking these mental breaks during games when you have those bad passes, or you just have bad decisions made by your point guard, Ben Simmons. When he's driving into the lane, he has a shot. And instead of just taking the shot, maybe getting fouled, maybe making the bucket, he decides to force a pass to the outside and ends up turning the ball over.
Who's been your best player for the Sixers so far this year?
Matisse.
last 2 weeks, it's been Tobias. The year?
Josh Richardson?
He's missed a lot of games.
He has missed a lot of games, yeah. But while he's been playing, he's been pretty clutch for you. Al Horford?
He's been up in the, yeah. I'm not saying this to be. I'm really.
Like, do you have someone in mind?
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you know, I do this on the show. I just throw out questions because they come to my head, and that's the, you know.
I say them out loud.
But is that damning or is that good?
No, I don't think it's good. I think you should establish somebody who is your guy.
Like, after 22 games, if we just said before the season, after 22 games, Bob's going to ask who's the best player on the team this year. We should all say Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Right.
We should all say Ben Simmons.
Uh huh.
We don't know who to say.
Look, you've had Ben step up clutch with defensive plays this season. That's obvious against the Knicks, most notably Pacers as well. You've had Tobias Harris really come into his own offensively over the last week and a half, 2 weeks of the season, which has been great. Last night, they spoiled a great effort from him. In 40 minutes he played, by the way, last night.
Yeah.
And they needed him to play every one of those minutes. Joel Embiid has definitely been inconsistent. A scoreless game a couple of games ago was just insane to think about. Yeah, the guy that has been consistently good for you while he's been playing has been Josh Richardson, but the hamstring injury is now lingering.
So maybe this all says that what Brett said was true, I don't know, but maybe come the holiday, Christmas is his first third of the season, he said that's when I'll get to know this team, that's when we'll know what they are. Maybe we will, but right now we don't. I mean, that just proves it by we don't even know who their best player is.
No, and that's a shame, especially when you're talking about guys that have aspirations of being MVP candidates. 610-632-0975. We got Robert. We got Alejandro. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to speak to a phenomenal comedian. Well, one of my favorite comedians out there, Adam Ferrara. I've seen him a couple of different times in concert, in show at Helium Comedy Club. He's going to join us around 9:30 today. He is a 9 o'clock. He's going to he's doing some great shows at Helium Comedy Club. And he's also a New Yorker. We'll get the Giants' perspective of all this coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour here on 97.5 The Fanatic, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm furniture workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. You know, there was one thing that was positive about the Doug Peterson press conference yesterday, and it was more so about the fact that he is going to do padded practice. Well, he did that yesterday, this late in the season, which is so taboo in football nowadays. And he challenged his leaders to, you know, I guess be more leaders.
Yeah.
What does that do for you, training?
Should have done two-a-days, cowards. Run up hills a couple both ways.
Yeah, some Oklahoma drills.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, a little bull in the ring.
Carry some logs around on your back.
Pretty sure that's outlawed now, but yeah, carry logs. Did we ever find out where Rocky got the log?
No.
No, I don't think we did.
The chicken coop. Where he got the chicken.
I'm trying to make sense of it. Coming up, we'll revisit some of that. Also, some sound from after last night's game when it comes to what the Sixers had to say for themselves. Sam's been playing them all morning in their update. Tobias Harris was, I think, on top of it the most when it came to taking responsibility for this loss and looking at those turnovers. You can't do that. I can't go back to it enough. Sixth time this season, the Sixers have turned the ball over 20 or more times. Bob, are you okay?
20 turnovers or more times. Drive me nuts.
20 or more times. Six times this season.
So when you're a fast-breaking team, which Brett wants to be, he can live with six or seven live ball turnovers. That means, you know, you're going out on a break, you might throw a pass, you might lose a dribble. Dead ball turnovers, which are when you're just kind of posting up like Joel had last night, you get a few of them. He's looking for 11, 12 he'll live with, 13 mm-hmm. he'll live with that. 21?
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
It's awful.
15 from your
six
best.
Six times this year yeah. in 22 games?
Yeah, and 15 from your stars. The guys are supposed to be leaders of the squad.
So I've heard a narrative out there on Sixers Twitter and, you know, conversing with a lot of people. A lot of people think Joel Embiid misses Jimmy Butler and is upset
I'm
that they...
I'm tired of that, too.
I hear you.
Oh, he's pouting?
Wait,
that
no
he's
way.
Pouting. People believe this. I don't, personally.
He's pouting.
Yes. My question was, do any of you believe it?
I don't believe it. No, I don't think that's the problem. I think he's out of shape, and I think he looks like that on the court. I think he wants to be in a situation where he can be more of the star, more of the guy that get the ball at the last second.
Yeah.
I think he loves that. I honestly, if that's the case, then he should be like cut from the NBA. If you have that amount of talent and Jimmy Butler being gone makes you that heartbroken, you can't reach your full potential, that's ridiculous is what that is.
I think he misses his presence. Having him around.
Okay, I'm not saying he might not miss his friend.
I miss your Musk. I miss hanging out with you.
Yeah.
But seriously.
Playing dominoes, maybe.
Trey, having that talent level in a player and you trade his lovey and all of a sudden you can't play like that anymore?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. How can you be in this point in the season and be out of shape?
Great question.
Running that you do, you know, I mean, how many games have they played so far?
22.
And you're still out of shape?
But they probably had, like, what, six practices?
Right. I'll tell you how, Trey. You come into the season not in shape.
He had abs.
They might have been.
Or was that a filter?
Yeah, they might have been. Probably a filter. Probably a new
fitness filter.
Fitness filter on Instagram.
All right.
Alejandro in Philly, what's on your mind, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Yo, buddy.
On the topic of Embiid, you guys know they made a statue of him, his arm, in Brooklyn, New York?
Yeah, what was the story with that?
The story is that a guy, supposedly Hank Willis Thomas, supposedly used his arm to make a sculpture, the 22-foot sculpture. And supposedly, this is what I'm reading, that it was 3D-dimensional scan of Embiid's arm, according to Brooklyn paper. The sculpture was titled Unity. So he got it pointed up in the air. It's on Tillery and Adams. So you guys want to take a look at that.
Okay.
And that's why I'm like, ain't that supposed to like some... I don't think that... you know, what you guys think?
Sure. Like,
ain't it a violation?
No, I saw this story. Nah, whatever. Like, in all honesty, you want to take a guy... The guy is an Adonis of an athlete when you look at him. When he takes his shirt off, maybe you don't see those abs like we used to, though, Trey. But I saw the story. I thought it was a joke at first. But, yeah, apparently this guy did take this sculpture of his arm, and he has it going up number one in Brooklyn. It's coming out of, like, a median, I think I saw it.
Yes, and it's big.
Yeah, it's ginormous. It's huge. And it does look like Joel Embiid's arm, but it's only because I'm looking at it as if it's Joel Embiid's arm.
Okay, you see it then.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely see it.
All right, that's it. I just
wanted
to see it.
Is it saying number one, or is it checking the temperature?
It's actually, it's a hand on a knee, just showing it's exhausted, unfortunately. It's not, it could look like it's taking the temperature.
Which way the wind is blowing?
Yeah, pretty much. Go with the wind today, boys. Let's get to Robert. What's going on, Robert?
Hey, how you doing?
Great, man.
You guys are starting to drive me crazy over this discussion of goals and habits. And I want to address this directly to Cooney and Trey. And Trey, you make the point about habits, how you would play every game against every opponent you were going to face off the same way. And that wasn't your goal. That was your habit. Because mm-hmm. you knew the minute it was your goal, it would be like trying to lose weight or pump up so much on the weight bar. And once you get it, it's like, well, where do I go from here?
Mm-hmm.
You're lost. So when you make it your habit, you do it every day. And that's what the Sixers don't do. I mean, Joel and Ben, it is not a habit. It's like, oh, well, my goal today is to do such and such, and we're going to go here. And you see it when they just go, oh, well, this isn't working. Didn't make our goal. Let's just walk around and see what happens. And it's just, it drives me crazy. And not making this distinction between goals and habits when you guys are talking about it also drives me crazy.
Well, I mean, what you're saying. We want them to get into good habits. It drives you crazy that we talk about it? Robert.
Yeah, I'm with you. For some reason, you dropped out. I'm sorry.
All right. You said it drives us crazy when we talk to you about them trying to form good habits?
Yes, because you guys keep shifting between habits and goals. And I'm saying...
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Habits come before the goals. I mean, I flat out said that these are guys that have talked about winning Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, being All-Stars, and then winning NBA championships. And the only thing they've done is, you know, make All-Star teams, which is nice. One for Ben Simmons. You need to establish those habits before you obtain those goals. I think that's our point.
Yeah, but it's... Okay, I can understand that, but I'm saying that even if you obtain a goal, that you still have to have the habit
right.
of obtaining goals.
No, you do, but I mean, that's kind of the point, though. You're right. The one leads to the other, and that's kind of what we're getting into. Mm-hmm. I think we're having a pretend play.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah. They're not going to do that. If Joel Embiid continues to go about his game as if the best part of his game is three-pointers and getting the basketball 15 feet away from the basket, he's not going to get better than what we've seen. If he treats his bread and butter, which is getting down low, staying down low, getting those rebounds, getting putbacks, creating his own shot, using that mid-range game. If he uses that as his bread and butter and not, oh, well, wait, I can dribble, so I'm going to dribble. I'm going to go between my legs because I can. I'm going to go behind my back because I can. Bob, as you've said, that's great that you can do that, and it's good to have that in your repertoire, but it should not be your bread and butter. I love the fact that offensively he can get to a point footwork-wise where he looks incredible. But overall, it shouldn't be what he does for the most part in his game. Being strong should be, you know, using his strength should be the best part of his game.
Yeah, and when Robert was talking, we talk habits. One of my pet peeves is I really think you can establish the habit of when your team grabs a rebound, putting your head down and running down the floor. Mm-hmm. After a while, you will get in the habit. It will just happen. Your body will just go. You know you have to be down the other end. Mm-hmm. That's a habit I would love for him to create.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.